Box Radio. The Field by Willie Weir.
I've always loved a tent. It symbolizes camping and campfires, fishing with my dad, s'mores and wool shirts smelling of wood smoke, a suburban backyard getaway in the summer. I know that it's just synthetic fabric stretched between poles, but I feel strangely secure inside my tent. It's my practical, portable cave. When I became a bike traveler, a tent was the great budget equalizer. Lodging can range from insanely expensive to cheap. Camping can range from really cheap to free. And that is how I managed to travel the world on a poor man's budget. When you travel on a bike with your lodging packed in a bag, $1,000 is a fortune. The first time I crossed America by bike, I was 19 years old. I sold my 64 Pontiac Tempest for $400. It was all the money I needed. You see, I'm not an avid cyclist, as much as I am a traveler who discovered the magic combination of a bike and a tent. I had just pedaled over the border from Guatemala to El Salvador, and I was looking for a place to camp. Wait. Some backstory. The year before, I'd spent 4 months cycling in Mexico. Americans I met traveling in their RVs, which they circled around like wagons at night, carrying enough food and water purchased in the United States to last their entire journey so they didn't have to risk eating or drinking the local fare. They all thought I was crazy. They all thought I was going to die. But I didn't. I returned to Seattle and made enough money to afford another journey. And the following year, I began on the border of Mexico and Belize and pedaled my way through all of the countries of Central America. And that is how I found myself pedaling into El Salvador in 1992, just weeks after the ceasefire agreement between the government and the leftist guerrillas. I'm pretty sure I was the only touring cyclist who crossed the border that day. Or month, based on the looks I got from the border officials, all the backpackers that I'd met and drank with in the bars of Antigua, Guatemala, were passing on El Salvador altogether and heading straight for the islands off the coast of Honduras. It was hot, and I had consumed an entire pannier's worth of oranges I bought from locals near the border. As evening approached, I pedaled into a small town. Considering the circumstances, this was probably a good time to get a hotel. But I didn't. You see, I was on this super tight budget, and I had my tent. I wandered to the edge of town.
Go!
There was a field. Not a sports field, per se, but a field in which several young kids were playing soccer. My bike, loaded down with gear, immediately drew attention. The kids came running over, and within a couple of minutes, I was juggling. You see, I always carry juggling balls with me, and joking with them in my horrendous traveler's Spanish. I asked some of the older kids if I could camp there. They all thought it was a splendid idea, and they even helped me set up my tent. There was a chance of a storm that night, so we added the rain fly. My lodging secured, I relaxed and watched them play until parents began calling them home. There were just a few of the older kids hanging around as the sun set, and an old man wandered over. He had the weathered face of a field worker and swollen fingers that no longer straightened. He looked at me and said,
"This is not a good place for you."
And then he wandered away. A good place for me. What did he mean? I mean, why did he wait until sunset to mosey over and drop this bit of advice on me? Yeah, whatever. Well, just in case, I brought all my gear inside my tent and then locked my bike to one of the poles. Darkness comes quickly at this latitude. So does sleep. I sat straight up. My chest was pounding. My heart was in my ears. My mouth was open as if to scream. And I had absolutely no idea why. It was the old man.
This is not a good place for you.
With one sentence, he had messed with my head. He had turned my tent, my traveler's solace, into a bag of fear. And I was marinating in it. It was quiet. No wind, no crickets. Just my heart pounding. Willie, relax. Breathe. That was a footstep. Okay. It could be one of the kids from town. It could be a farmer. It could be... Oh, my God, I screwed up. The old man was right. This is not a good place. It is the place of TV newscasts, of killings and torture, and I am just an idiot who has wandered into it all. There is a man out there, and he has a knife or a machete or a very large rock with which he is going to bash in my skull. The urge to flee was overwhelming, but I sat there, frozen, the rain fly on my tent obscuring any vision to what was out there. There was only the approaching sound of footsteps that would end in my demise, a foolhardy cyclist who failed to heed an old man's warning. Another footstep. So close, for the first time, I heard breathing. In absolute panic, I reached for my wallet, zipped open the tent, and tossed it out of the field. Please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me. I faced my would-be attacker. The local donkey ignored my wallet. Stared at me for a few seconds, then munched on a clump of grass next to my tent. I'd like to say those footsteps never haunted me again, that I laughed the whole thing off, but I didn't.
Willie Weir, ladies and gentlemen.